is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on Mortal Life, silencing your inner critic. You tend to beat up on yourself? We're going to help you see yourself through God's loving eyes. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
Mortal Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And we're here taking your calls today about silencing that inner critic. You know, we all have that inner critic, that quiet voice in our heads that runs us down, criticizes us, undermines us, makes it difficult to accept God's love, His
This radio program is experiencing some brief technical difficulties. Hearing this message means the producer of the program is aware and is actively working on the problem. Thank you for your patience.
Struggling and not really being able to be their best selves in a moment when things are hard anyway. You know, when we hear news that kind of drags us down, when we're going through more than we usually do, it gets very difficult to be able to keep up feeling right about ourselves. We often go into a place of blaming ourselves or struggling to be our best selves. So whether that's you today and you're going through something like that kind of struggle, or you have somebody in your life who is, and you want to know what to do, what to say, because often just saying, oh, it's fine, everything's going to be fine, well, that makes it very difficult for them to really believe it. So how do we really help them? How do we get them back on the right track, or ourselves on the right track? That's what we're here to help you with on More to Life today at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
That inner critic is kind of a constant battle that we all have to fight. And, you know, and it's not our voice. You know, the Christian view in this, it's not our voice. It's actually the voice of the enemy.
Yeah.
Seeking to pull us away from God's love, from His forgiveness, from our best selves. And, you know, we tend to kind of think, well, you know, that's just me talking to myself. You know, St. Paul in 2 Corinthians 10:5 talks about how we need to test every thought.
Yes.
And make it obedient to Christ. These thoughts, you know, they're not ours until we decide to own them. And it's really important to kind of step back from our thoughts and realize that they're just passing through. And there are some thoughts I need to hold on to, those consolations, as St. Ignatius would put it, from the Holy Spirit, that help us draw closer to God and help us be our best selves. Those are thoughts we need to hold on to. Thoughts, however, that pull us away from God or make it harder for us to be our best selves, those we just need to let pass through, just like any other silly, crazy thought that we might have in a given moment. They're not our thoughts. They don't belong to us until we claim them. And that's a real different perspective, you know, because most of us kind of think that anything that goes through our head must be must be from us, and it must be in there, and it belongs to us, and we need to hold on to it and grasp to it and identify with it. And that's really not the case at all.
Well, for years, I think there was a lot in our culture that taught us our feelings are our truth. And it's not. You know, what God wants from us and for us is truth. But as you were saying, Greg, the enemy, who often when we talk about the enemy, the father of lies, we think of big theatrical experiences. And many of our listeners might be thinking, well, I'm not thinking anything that horrible. It's not like demonic. No, the father of lies lies to us in little tiny thoughts, little tiny ways that distract us from the grace and mercy of our Lord, that keep us from experiencing all of his mercy, all of his grace, and becoming everything he wants us to be. But we don't have to go through major experiences to be able to say, no, I'm casting Satan out, although we certainly can say that aloud. But it's about claiming the thoughts that are true and good and beautiful and of God and casting aside those that make us feel less of ourselves, make us feel like we're not the sons and daughters of God that we truly are.
Well, for instance, certain thoughts that really are never from God are thoughts that say things like, you don't deserve to be loved. You don't deserve that forgiveness. You don't deserve that mercy.
You're nothing's not good
ever
enough.
Nothing's ever going to change. Mm-hmm. You can't face this. There's nothing you can do about this.
Now, a lot of people are cringing right now as they're hearing you even say those sentences. But when they hear them from you, they hear them aloud from someone else, they cringe. When they get in our own heads, we don't cringe. We start to believe them, and we get disempowered by them, and we become less than God wants us to be, and less than he really is asking us to be to enable the world to become more of his, enable the world to know his divine light. And so if you're struggling today, or you have someone in your life who is, and you don't know how to reach out, you don't know how to help them, you don't know how to make a difference, let's talk about it and give you the new tools and techniques that you need in your situation to help that person or to combat all those thoughts yourself. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Again, all of us have that inner critic, that quiet voice that runs us down, beats us up, criticizes us, makes it hard to accept God's love, mercy, grace, makes it difficult to believe that that thing is ever going to change or we're ever going to be able to change. What does your inner critic say to you? How is it getting in your way? Or for that matter, are you trying to help someone you care about defeat that inner critic as you watch them beat themselves up? 877-573-7825. You know, the theology of the body has a lot to say, actually, about this idea of our inner critic.
Yeah, sure it does, because the theology of the body reminds us, in all of its pages, really, that the key to achieving the incredibly high standards that God has for us and for our relationships is leaning into God's love and allowing his grace to change us from the inside out. We have to cooperate with God's grace and take seriously his call to conversion, but we can't do it on our own. When we beat ourselves up, it's usually because we think that's what we have to do to improve. We think that if we're not hard on ourselves, that we'll never grow or change.
Yeah, but in fact, brain science tells us that when we criticize ourselves, our mind actually locks down in the face of what it perceives to be a threat. And that makes it more difficult to create those new neural connections that learning and changing requires. You know, that same research shows that the most rapid brain changes occur when we feel loved and affirmed by ourselves or others. Well, and the theology of the body reminds us that by studying the body, we can learn important things about God's intentions for our life and relationships. So as we reflect on that finding, we see that God doesn't want us to beat ourselves up. He doesn't want us to try to flog ourselves into perfection. That's not how it works. He wants us to run to him, to throw ourselves into his arms and say, Lord, love me and show me what I'm worth in your eyes, so that I will never settle for anything less than what you want me to be or you want to give to me. When our bodies say that beating up on ourselves is bad for us, it means that God doesn't want us to do it. 877-573-7825. We're talking with you today about dealing with that inner critic, either in yourself or in others. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Let's take those concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the
Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you, and we thank you for giving us the words of everlasting life. You who are the Word, lead us to an abundant life. But Lord, so often we hear words in our heads that pull us away from that grace, from that abundance, from that mercy, and from all the things you want to do in us and with us and through us. And so, Lord, we bring to you all of our thoughts, and as your servant St. Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians 10:5, we bring those thoughts to you and make them obedient to you. Help us to step back from our thoughts and our feelings and to test them so that we can, so that we always lean into those thoughts and feelings that are from you and reject those thoughts and feelings that are from the enemy. Help us to embrace the call to conversion, to recognize the changes that we need to make in our lives and in our relationships, but do it in a spirit of love and compassion, seeing that it is not by beating ourselves up that changes happen, but by resting in your love and allowing you to transform us from the inside out that make true change possible. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary and in the name of the
Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today our show is titled Silencing Your Inner Critic. Do you tend to beat up on yourself? Do you have that voice that runs you down in some way or tells you that you're not deserving of God's love or mercy or grace, or that he's never going to change this, or that's, you can't handle that, whatever it is? Or do you have someone you care about who is beating themselves up and you're not sure how to support them? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Thomas, who's a EWTN radio in Tennessee on the EWTN app.
Hey, Thomas, welcome to More to Life.
Hey, good morning, guys. Absolutely love the show, by the way.
Thank you so much. What's going on for you today?
You know, I thought today's topic was actually very, very personal. One thing I've noticed, it's easy to tune out. I've tuned out, you know, whether it's like a lust, a drinking excess, or other sins, whether it's anger. I feel like God's really helped me. One place that I still struggle in is thoughts. And it's more so, you know, I may sometimes go to daily mass, go to weekly confession, but still struggle with thoughts that are directly at God, whether it's like a blasphemous thought or a disrespectful thought. And I know with all my heart, I don't mean them. Oh, God, that sometimes, like, you get so frustrated fighting them, you almost feel like you want to think about it as some kind of relief. And then when you do, you feel guilty. And I absolutely agree. I think thought control is very, very hard. I was curious if you guys could add into that.
Yeah, so here's what I would say. I mean, I don't want to ask too many questions about it, because I understand that this is, you know, the kind of thoughts you're talking about, you know, are very painful. So I don't want to poke at it too much. But I want to focus on that whole idea of our relationship with our thoughts. You know, thoughts are not sins, right? So we can have a thought, even a horrible thought, a sinful thought, a blasphemous thought even. And what I was saying before is that we don't own those thoughts until we claim them. Think about it this way. Every thought that passes through your head is a little bit like the UPS guy coming to your front doorstep and asking you to sign for a package. If it is not a thought that you want to hold on to, don't sign for the package. And I know that sounds simplistic, but it's really true. I mean, we think a billion thoughts a day that we don't pay any attention to at all. So, for example, if a thought popped in your head, gosh, wouldn't it be nice to fly? I mean, sure, but you know it's ridiculous, so you let it go, right? And 3 seconds later, you don't think about it again, right? There are some thoughts, though, that we get shocked by, or that kind of touch on our Achilles heel. We have a certain weakness, right? And so we think, oh my gosh, because I had that thought, that means that I'm a terrible person, or it's really bad that I had that thought, or I committed some sin because that thought passed through my head.
And often it goes back to a sin we're struggling with, an experience earlier on in our lives, perhaps something that we went through that really hurt us in some way or hurt others. And so Satan goes right for those and picks on those little things and says, see, if you think this way, it's going to snowball. It's going to get worse. You're going to go back to that old person you were instead of being a new creation of Christ. And that frightens us, and it makes us feel discouraged, and it makes us want to hide, sort of like Adam and Eve did behind the bushes when God was looking for them in the garden. He knew exactly where they were, and instead of running to him, they hid, and everything kind of devolved. And so when we say, no, sorry, that wrong address for that package, I'm not that address anymore, I'm not that person doesn't live here anymore. And we can literally use that language and say, you know, in Jesus' name, this is not who I am, so I'm not having this thought. I'm giving it to you, God, and I'm asking for your mercy in the midst of dealing with this, because you know I want to be better than this.
And it's you know, the point is, it's not your thought, right? It's a thought that's passing through your head. And you can let that thought go. And that's really the simplest way to deal with the kinds of thoughts that you're talking about. To say, you know, that's not something I want to think. It's not something that I really believe. It popped into my head, and I'm going to let it go. Now, for folks who have a harder time doing that, you know, when thoughts do stick and they become obsessive, you know, when certain thoughts tend to become more habitual, then there are other strategies that we can use to deal with that. I actually talk about some of those strategies in my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. But for the level that you're talking about, where you just kind of have, you know, occasional thoughts that might pop into your head, you know, rather than beating up on yourself for having those thoughts, you know, if somebody whispered something in your ear, you wouldn't beat up on yourself for hearing it, right? Well, in the same way, you know, these kinds of thoughts that you're talking about, you know, the enemy is whispering in your spiritual ear, and you're hearing that thought, that doesn't mean it came from you or that you want to hear it. It just means that it did. So you're able to just say, you know, that's not a thought I want to think. It's not my thought. I'm letting it go. And leaving it with that. Now, as I said, if it's not as simple as that for you, if you find that you still struggle with more obsessive thoughts about that, then we might be talking about something related to either what's called scrupulosity or maybe even a kind of obsessive compulsive disorder. There are strategies for dealing with that, but I don't want you to go to that place just yet. I want you to try what I'm talking about here for the first next couple of weeks, all right? Just remind yourself that your thoughts these thoughts that pass through your head don't belong to you until you've signed for them. Until you say, yeah, that's definitely what I want to think, and that's how I do think, and I want to hold on to that. Otherwise, if a random thought pops into your mind, acknowledge that, okay, it's there, I heard that thought, and now I'm going to let it go. Because it's not from me, it's not who I want to be, it doesn't belong to me, I'm letting it pass through. Again, we talk about more of these kinds of strategies in my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. If you need more assistance, you can check that out or reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But I think that these ideas will at least get you the next few steps down the road, Thomas. And I thank you for the call.
And thanks for listening. We really appreciate your encouragement.
877-573-7825. Today, our show is titled Silencing Your Inner Critic. Do you tend to beat up on yourself? Do you tend to hear that voice in your head that says, you know, you can't do this, nothing's going to change, God can't forgive you, you aren't lovable, all those...
You're not strong enough, yeah. Smart enough, big enough to handle all this, you're going to be crushed. A lot of us are feeling that way these days.
For sure.
But changing our thoughts, rejecting some of them, doing other things, using new tools can change that, restore us into God's grace and mercy, and help the situation actually change. We're here to help you do that today, or to help you help those you care about who might be struggling in these ways. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
And when we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we're going to be joined by Dr. Joseph White. He is a family psychologist and the director of catechetical resources for our Sunday visitor. He's going to give some tips to parents for helping our kids overcome self-criticism. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Are you hungry for college football this fall? Hailing from sunny Southwest Florida, the Ave Maria Gyrenes will take on their Sun Division opponents for exciting and hard-hitting football. All games can be live-streamed by going to avemaria.edu and clicking on the live-stream football button. On Saturday the 17th, the Gyrenes have a home rematch against Southeastern. Game time at 7 p.m. Tune in for great college football played by an authentic Catholic university. avemaria.edu.
This program is brought to you in part by the support of MVP Realty Associates, helping people find homes in the town of Ave Maria, Florida.
The town of Ave Maria has a water park, golf courses, restaurants, medical and retail stores, and is located 20 minutes from Naples. New construction and resale homes are available. More information about the town of Ave Maria and the vision of Domino's Pizza founder Tom Monahan is available from Greg Musumano at 239-825-6958.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Research shows that when families openly live and share their faith together, they're more able to respond positively to the challenges they face every day.
So if you're looking for help in creating that joyful place where each member of your family experiences life as a gift from God, then you will want to check out our book, Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide for Raising Faithful Kids.
You can find this book on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Silencing Your Inner Critic, as we help you and the people you care about stop beating up on yourselves. The number to call, 877-573-7825. You know, as parents, we often see our kids being particularly hard on themselves when they are struggling in a particular area or dealing with a specific problem. How do we as parents help our kids overcome self-criticism? Joining us today, Dr. Joseph White. He is a family psychologist, director of catechetical resources for our Sunday Visitor publications, and he's here to talk to us about what parents can do to help kids overcome that tendency towards self-criticism. Dr. Joseph, welcome to More to Life.
Thanks. Great to be with you.
Well, thank you for joining us. So let's talk about this. I mean, you know, a lot of times when kids beat up on themselves, we kind of swoop in and try to be cheerleaders. And I think your first point is that we kind of need to watch out for that a little bit. Talk to us about that.
Yeah. You don't want to dismiss kids' self-criticisms outright or respond with an exaggeration to overcompensate. For example, if they say, I was horrible in my soccer game, don't respond with, no, you were great. You played like a World Cup champion. Because it just doesn't feel genuine to them.
Because what they hear in the back of their heads is, yeah, right. They don't get me, right?
Yeah,
so they,
yeah.
So, and what do you really attend to? You hear the negative voice even more clearly than you hear the affirmations the parent's trying to give.
Right. And do ask them for specifics on what they weren't happy with or how they think they could improve. So try to turn it into a plan. Like, what would you like to get better at? How can we practice that for next time?
That really matters, because then suddenly they're thinking in a proactive way. But on top of that, as parents, they're saying in the back of their minds, and it gets planted there, well, when I'm struggling with something, I can go to mom and dad or grandma and grandpa or whoever their adult is, and they're going to help me figure it out. They're going to help me figure out how to fix it. And that is the message we really want for our kids. Not just that, you know, the heavenly light is shining upon them at every moment, which they know they're not perfect, but to really say, I have people who will help me figure this out and come to a place where I feel better and do better. That's wonderful.
In addition to helping them make plans, though, is there some way to help our kids kind of get off the negativity?
Yeah. I think one thing we need to do is make sure we ask them what they think they did or are doing well, so that they're not always painting all their work with a broad brush of criticism. And then I think it's also important to remind them that that your love for them isn't dependent on their performance, that even though you want them to do their best and feel happy about what they've done, you love them no matter what, and also God loves them no matter what.
And I think that being able to have those messages, you know, first, like you're saying, first empathizing, but then asking them, you know, what would they like to do better, you know, reminding them, or asking them rather, of what they're good at, and then, you know, reminding them that your love isn't dependent on their performance, all incredibly important steps. So the one thing that I'd like to kind of highlight here is that, you know, in all of your advice, you're not saying that the parent needs to tell the kids anything. You're encouraging parents to ask questions that help the kid sort through their thoughts on their own. Why does that approach work better than just the kind of talking to them about their thoughts?
Well, it's often the best way to learn anyway, right? And I think partly because kids really buy into the plan to do better, the good things they're doing when they can find that on their own with some help with the parent, with some appropriate questions.
I think that's a really important piece of advice. And Dr. Joseph, I want to thank you for being with us today and giving us those tips to help parents help their kids face self-criticism. And I just want to encourage people to go to your website, sharingcatholicfaith.com. Have a great day, Dr. Joseph. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And folks, we are taking your calls about dealing with self-criticism. Maybe you were hearing what Dr. Joseph was talking about, and you're thinking about your kids and saying, well, okay, those sound like great ideas, but how do I actually apply it in this particular situation? Maybe you're the one who's dealing with that inner critic, and you're not sure how to turn off the voice that is undermining your confidence, undermining your faith, undermining your ability to experience God's love or forgiveness.
Or your relationships.
We are here for you. What is that inner critic saying to you? How is it getting in your way? Let's talk it out at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Or like I said, if you are dealing with someone in your life that you care about who's beating themselves up and you're not sure how to help them, we want to be here for that too. 877-573-7825. More to Life. We'll be back with more of your questions about defeating that inner critic right after these messages. Stick around.
Get more information on today's guest and download the program from the Ave Maria Radio website, AveMariaRadio.net. And when your local radio signal is out of reach, listen live on the Ave Maria Radio app.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
Awe. I love reverence. Wherever I go in the world, I usually go to visit the religious buildings. And no matter what I see reverence. Awe. I've been in temples and mosques where I saw more reverence and awe of God than I see in Christian churches, even sometimes in Catholic churches. Oh, yes. Let me say it. When I was a boy, Catholics were much more reverent and respectful in church. You never, ever spoke in church. I was a young priest. A man had a heart attack at the beginning of Mass. I stopped the Mass. We prayed for the man while the police were coming, the ambulance. They removed him from the church. He didn't die. Not one word was spoken. The police officers and the ambulance attendants who came whispered respect. I wish it were true today.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Support for Ave Maria programming comes in part by CatholicCounselors.com. Self-help resources and support from Catholic telecounselors from the privacy of home. CatholicCounselors.com, helping your faith, life, and relationships flourish.
Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popchak. Discipline is a difficult question to navigate in today's culture. Many parents don't like the idea of corporal punishment, but fear spoiling their children as well. Luckily, the Church has long provided guidance for parents on this subject. In fact, some well-known saints have specifically preached against corporal punishment. St. John Chrysostom wrote, "Accustom your children not to be trained by the rod, for when he feels it, he will learn to despise it. And when he has learned to despise it, he has reduced your system to naught." St. John Bosco wrote, "Force indeed punishes the guilt, but does not heal the guilty. To strike a child in any way must be avoided." Psychology, brain science, and our Catholic faith agree that parents should assume the best. gently correct the wrongdoing and redirect the child toward more positive behavior. Avoiding force will continue a relationship of trust and mutual respect between you and your child. For more guidance on Catholic parenting, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today our show is titled Silencing Your Inner Critic. We all have that little voice inside of our heads that runs us down, beats us up, tries to separate us from God's grace, from His love, from His mercy. That voice that says, that's never going to change. Stop expecting so much. You know, you have a big head. You don't deserve that love. You don't deserve that whatever. And then, of course, we have the people in our life that we love who beat up on themselves, whether that's our kids or our spouse or someone we care about. We want to talk about how do we silence that inner critic that tries to separate us from all the gifts that God wants to give us, especially His love and His mercy. If you are tired of hearing that voice in your head and want to know how to fight back and silence that inner critic, we're here to help you with some great practical tips today on More to Life. The number to call, 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Right now, we're talking with Rich, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nebraska.
On Spirit Catholic Radio. Hey, Rich, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to make a comment. All my life, because I had kind of an abusive family relationship growing up, I was always kind of negative on myself and kind of beating up on myself, and I got into some substance abuse issues. But One of the things I finally discovered is that from a scripture verse, you know, seek the truth hurts, but the truth will set you free. Mm-hmm. And I found that, you know, rather than just confessing my sins, you know, I started, why do I do these things? And then you get into the seven deadly sins. And I finally, through a spiritual advisor, started discovering that the motive behind your thinking, that's the truth. And when you really seek that out, it's got a very healing, the repentance is a lot more serious and a lot more depth.
Yeah, you're speaking to something I actually write about I did a book called Broken Gods, Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart. And I kind of speak to exactly what you're talking about. You know, we beat up on ourselves for these sins, and, you know, they're not good things. We don't want to do them, and we're not proud of ourselves when we commit these sins, especially those deadly sins like pride or lust or gluttony or envy or, you know, you name it. But what I talk about in that book, Broken Gods, is that our tendency to beat up on ourselves just tends to feed that obsessive cycle that we have with that sin. So, you know, all of us have what scripture calls a besetting sin. A habit that we fall into over and over and over again, whatever that is, that we confess all the time. And it's really hard to get over. And then we try to respond to that by saying, oh, what's wrong with me that I do that? Oh, well, you know, I'm such a terrible person. And we hope that by beating up on ourselves, we're going to get better. And that never works. What I talk about in the book is the importance of, Rich, what you were just talking about, recognizing the divine longings that actually exist behind the seven deadly sins. See, what happens is God created us with certain longings. For instance, the longing for connection and communion, the longing for abundance, the longing for dignity, and the longing for justice. And Satan takes those longings and twists them, so they become sins. So the longing for communion and connection becomes the sin of lust, where instead of pursuing real communion and connection with someone, I pursue the illusion of communion and connection and use them. Where I have a longing for abundance, Satan twists that divine longing and turns it into pride and has me saying, you know, I'm going to seek my own path to fulfillment and everybody get out of my way. You know, where I have a divine longing for justice, Satan twists that and says, I want justice, and so I'm going to burn everything down to get it. And that becomes the sin of wrath. And it's only, you know, the true repentance comes from being able to say, you know, what is behind this sin? What is behind this flaw that I have? What's the need that God is trying to get me to meet? And how can I meet that need in a godly way? Right? So if I'm trying to repent from that sin of wrath, I can't repent of it by beating up on myself for it. I have to say, what's the divine longing behind that? What's the need that God wants me to address? So I say, okay, well, what's the thing I'm angry about? And how could I respond to that in a way that would give God glory, work for the good of those around me, and help me be my best self as well? You know, if I'm wrestling with that sin of lust, I can't repent of it by just saying, I'm not going to do that anymore. I have to repent of it by saying, you know, what I'm longing for is connection and communion with the people around me. And instead of sitting here on the internet, I need to go and find a way to serve and love the people who care about me and strengthen that connection and build healthy relationships with the people I love.
And if I'm feeling lonely and have no connections with other people, then how can I go out and make healthy ones? How can I even start by, you know, walking down the street, getting myself away from the internet, taking a walk, and really smiling at somebody who's walking down the street from me? Or if it's a neighbor I've never really had a chance to meet, you know, just saying hi and saying, you know, I don't think we've ever really gotten a chance to say hi, but, you know, I'm rich. It's nice to know that you're my neighbor, kind of thing. And just make that small connection, opening a door for somebody.
Rich or caller,
yes.
Not I'm wealthy.
and... Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. it just threw me.
But no, using your name and really introducing yourself, or if you're in a place where you can go into a coffee shop, you know, opening the door for somebody, being nice, or
but what can I do to serve? What can I do to love and make
it that's going to make that connection, yeah. Even if I don't feel like I have a whole lot of connections in my life? Because as soon as we feel a tiny bit more empowered to say, no, I can treat others with dignity as other human beings, as brothers and sisters in Christ, that just makes that jump from people are things to be used to people are people to be cherished and be in relationship with.
Rich, you mentioned, you know, a history with addictions and that you're in recovery now. But
God, you know, bless you.
But you know, that those are, the addictions are a type of or a variation on the sin of gluttony, right? And what's the divine longing behind the sin of gluttony? Well, it's that longing for a sense of fulfillment, of feeling whole, right? Whenever I, you know, whether I drink or I obsessively, you know, stuff things in me, you know, because I want to feel full, right? What I'm trying to do is I want to feel satisfied. I want to feel a sense of peace, right? That, and there's a healthy way to do that. There's a divine longing for that wholeness, right? But I'm pursuing it in an unhealthy way, and I can only repent of that addiction, that gluttony, by seeking healthy ways to achieve that sense of wholeness. But as long as I just beat up on myself, Satan just keeps me in that trap where that's the only way I know how to feel whole. So again, you know, everything you're talking about, Rich, is right on, and we unpack this, you know, this whole concept in my book, Broken Gods, Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart, which really looks at those seven divine longings and how can we achieve those desires, those longings, those needs in healthy, godly ways that help us become everything we were created to be instead of becoming obsessed with our brokenness, beating up on ourselves for our sinfulness, and being caught up in that repetitive cycle where we just keep doing those same obnoxious things over and over and over again.
Which, of course, is giving more power and glory to Satan than it is to God, because we're saying, well, no, I'm just going to beat myself up till I can make myself good enough for God to accept me. There's not a thing we can do. I mean, these are the stories, if you're not sure you're agreeing with me, make sure that you're reading the scriptures about God, Jesus telling the Pharisees that there's nothing they can do in order to redeem themselves. But Jesus came to redeem us. So we want to do everything that's going to draw us closer to God, His grace, and His mercy.
Rich, great point, and I want to thank you for the call, and I hope that this little segment has helped other listeners as well begin to see that those thoughts or those desires or even those sinful things we do, you know, that the answer isn't to beat up on ourselves for them, but to really see what God is trying to do behind that and meet that need in godly ways.
So, of course, we take full advantage of the sacrament of reconciliation. That's what's going to give us that grace and that healing. But then when we leave that confessional, that's when the kind of work that we're talking about today really gets started with real power behind it.
Incidentally, if you're hearing something that you like on the show today and you're saying, oh gosh, I wish I could remember that. Oh, but I'm never going to. You can always tune into the podcast and make sure that you check out the podcast at AveMariaRadio.net and also at EWTN.com where our podcast is located. And you can tune in that and share it on social media as well. Right now we're going to head out to break, but before we do, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come.
You know, I picked that verse today because when we beat up on ourselves, what it means is we're holding on to that old self. We're holding on to the broken, sinful, fallen self, and we're not looking at what God is trying to do in us and with us and through us. I am not saying, by the way, that you're just perfect just the way you are. I know that's not true, because I know it's not true for me.
It's not true for any human being.
You know, we're not perfect.
Concupiscence is a thing.
We're not perfect on our own strength, on our own right. We all have stuff we need to work on. But we could look at that in a sinful way and say, you know, I am broken and I am fallen and there's nothing I can do about it except sit here and wallow in that. Or I can look at it and say, you know, I am broken and I am fallen and God every day is working to make me whole. And I am excited to see what he is going to do in me and with me and through me today. And that is the way to approach our weaknesses and our sinfulness and our fallenness. By running into God's arms and saying, I am confident in your love and confident that you are working with me and in me and through me, even right now in my brokenness, and I praise you for it. That's the way God wants us to look at all of our flaws, as an opportunity to accept his mercy and the grace to change. We're continuing to take your calls about silencing the inner critic at 877-573-7825. Again, that number 877-573-7825. How is your inner critic getting in the way of your life, of your ability to accept God's love, his forgiveness, his confidence, your ability to make the important changes you need to make in your life? Is someone you care about struggling with the inner critic, and you're seeing them beat up on themselves, and you want to help them, but you're not sure how? Either way, we are here for you at 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with more of your questions, comments, and insights about overcoming the inner critic when we come back after this break.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo. If you're facing uncertainty with your current healthcare plan, now is the time to join CMF Curo. You can join any time during the year. And CMF Curo offers flexible Catholic healthcare solutions for individuals, families, and employers. CMF Curo is your personal healthcare advocate. Contact them today at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
There's a lot of uncertainty in the world right now. Companies have temporarily stopped hiring. Sporting events are held without fans. Even your friends are being told to keep their social distance from you. However, at Ave Maria University, we ask you to consider advancing while the world around you recedes. Gaining an online master's degree in business administration or theology can propel you forward, distinguishing you from the competition when companies again start hiring. Apply now at avemaria.edu.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life.
More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. We're talking about silencing your inner critic today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Right now, we're talking with Matt, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Maryland on Sirius 130.
Hey, Matt. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. So I've been hung up lately on this notion that my reasons for wanting to gain entrance into heaven may be selfish. You know, that if I were to list my top five reasons, you know, I want to spend eternity with my family. I don't want eternal suffering. And it's really gotten me kind of hung up lately that it's selfish.
So, Matt, what would be the right reasons to want to go to heaven?
To be with my Lord and Savior forever, to strengthen that marriage, and, you know, be able to celebrate that with my extended family that I hope.
And are you saying you don't want those things? Because I'm not hearing that.
I do. I just know that, you know, if I were to make a list, I think that other things would come higher up on the list first. And
sure.
I'm trying to, you know, back it up with, you know, the scripture or, you know, known canon that just...
Yeah, no, I hear you. And look, you know, I mean, again, you're not saying you don't want to be with the Lord. You're not saying, you know, but you know, all of that... it's a little harder to connect to personally. It's all those theological things you said, you know, I want to be with the Lord. I want to strengthen that marriage, you know, with God. That's beautiful. It's beautiful. But the reality is, you know, that desire to avoid suffering, that desire to be with those we love, those are things that we can relate to on a very personal, concrete level. And God respects that. And even talks about that in Scripture as a way of, you know, essentially getting our attention and motivating us to pursue those even greater things. Those thoughts, those desires that you have for heaven are stepping stones to that larger desire. They're not obstacles to getting to that larger
exactly.
desire.
Exactly. So if you look at this, you know, the scripture that pops to my mind the quickest when you're talking about this, Matt, is when Jesus says, if you do this even for the least of these, you do it unto me. He gave us each other. He gave us this community of love. He gave us sacramental relationship with your wife, with other people in your lives in Mass, because he knows that we get to not only serve him when we're with other people, but see him when we're with other people. So the very tangible union you have with your wife is just sort of that dark mirror into what you can experience in heaven with Christ in that Eucharistic union, that wedding feast that you're heading for. So rather than saying, maybe I love my wife more than God, maybe I want selfish things, instead of say, wow, I want to be able to love you, God, and want to be with you the way that my marriage has reflected love to me, the way I have this yearning to spend eternity with the people I love. I want that kind of relationship with you every day, Lord. So help me to get to know you better. Help me to see you in these people. Help me to serve you in these people. But help me to just strengthen my relationship with you. And pray about what are the steps that I can take to get to know God better in my life.
There's a saying that we can let the perfect be the enemy of the good.
Yeah,
and that's kind of what you're doing here. You're saying there's a perfect reason to desire heaven. And of course there is. But because this reason isn't that, then therefore everything else is bad. And that's a lie, right? You know, it's good to want to avoid suffering. It's good to want to be with those we love. And it's good to want to be with our Lord and Savior and experience that union with him forever. They're all good things. That's why I say these desires that you're most personally connected with for wanting to go to heaven, you know, are
are stepping stones to those larger things. And so by praying the way Lisa is suggesting and saying, you know, Lord, thank you for letting me have this connection, you know, with you through these things for now. Help me as time goes by. I want more of you. Help me as time goes by to pursue more of you. But help me to be at peace with where I'm at and what you're doing with me and in me and through me right now. Because this way you're able to see the good of what you have, but also see how much more God wants to give you. And you can rejoice in both, as opposed to saying, unless I have the perfect motivation, then it's not good enough. Now, I will also throw this out, though, Matt. If you find that this suggestion is not cutting it for you, you may be dealing with a little bit of scrupulosity, in which case you might need to seek either spiritual direction and or pastoral counseling or some combination of both. But I'm just going to ask you to pray about what we're saying to you here today and let that try to sink in. And if you find over the next couple of weeks that you're struggling to let that sink in, then it's time to seek some help for that.
And let's remember that every good and perfect gift is from God. So when you feel most in love with your wife, when you feel most connected to your family, say, Lord, help me to see this as a gift from you. Help me to give you praise for this gift that you've given me, to shine a little bit of your light into my life through these people, and help me to serve them and serve you through serving them. Take these steps to realize that all of this that God has given you, that you desire to keep in your eternal life, is all gift to be pointing toward him. In all of the calls we've taken so far today, we're really seeing that folks are saying, I think I have to be perfect before God will accept and love me, and I'm not good enough. He's what makes us refined and perfect, and only through his grace can we get there. He doesn't expect us to do it by himself.
Thanks for the call, Matt. We have one last question I want to get to before the end of the program.
We did. Betsy emailed in the middle of the program, and she says, I really am working hard with your anxiety book and have the realization of how every page helps me. It's the best book ever. I know, that's so sweet. I know I found that I have a catastrophic anxiety, and now I know that I don't want to be this way, and I'm working hard. This came through events. I wasn't always like that. And as I listen to your show today, I'm wondering what to do about the worry about paying bills, since my husband doesn't always get paid when he's supposed to. They often give him comp time the following week, things like that. This is due to the shutdown and essential job and not being eligible for unemployment. So when a person gets overwhelmed by bills, my son's braces, my son's clothing, gas, what do I do with that? God doesn't just pay them,
right?
But what can I do to not think of them or where the money is all the time?
All right, Betsy, thank you so much for the question. This is a really important thing because, you know, when we're talking about anxiety, a lot of times people will say, well, what if this really bad thing does happen? Or what if it could happen? And you're right. It is possible that you could not pay your bills. That is a possibility. And so just telling yourself, well, it's all going to be fine. It doesn't work, right? So in the book, Unworried, which you referenced, and thank you so much for those kind words, I make the distinction between a concern and anxiety. When we have a concern, we're able to say, okay, look, there's a problem here. And then we make plans. We gather resources and we, you know, pray about it, and then we act. We do something about it. So you're able to say, okay, look, there are some issues here with paying the bills. I need to sit down and make a budget. I need to pray about this. I need to gather my resources and figure out a plan for addressing this problem. That is how we handle a concern. An anxiety is a different thing altogether. And anxiety says, oh my gosh, the end is coming. There's nothing I can do except sit here and wait for it to come. And it prevents me from making a budget. It prevents me from getting resources. It prevents me from making a plan. It prevents me from gathering support. It prevents me from going to God and praying about it. It tears me away from all of my supports, right? So of course, it is a concern that your husband isn't being paid consistently and that you have lots of bills piling up. That is a concern. But it is a concern that you can make a plan for and that you can address. Anxiety stops you from doing that. It stops you from doing the practical things you can do to address the concern. In addition to that distinction between a concern and anxiety, what I want you to do also, though, is I want you to write down a handful of the other times in your life when you have had a similar concern. Remember the last half dozen times you were terrified you weren't going to be able to pay that bill, that you weren't going to be able to meet that need, you weren't going to be able to address that concern, and write out what happened. How did God deliver you then? And I want you to stand in confidence knowing that God will deliver you this time. I don't know how, but I do know that by addressing it as a concern instead of giving in to the anxiety and praying about this concern, gathering your resources to address the concern, gathering the support you need to carry you through this concern, and then making a plan to handle the concern, God will deliver you just as he's delivered you all those times before when you were sure the end was coming. So those are some suggestions that I could ask, offer you to take with you. But again, go back to Unworried and walk through some of those exercises there. And if there's something we can do to help support you through this process, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. And that goes for all of you listeners as well. If you are tired of that inner critic and you want to get a handle on that voice that is holding you back from God's love, from his grace, from his mercy, and from the changes that God wants to work in your life, let's work together and find a way forward. You can learn about our Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice and all the other resources we have for you at CatholicCounselors.com. That's CatholicCounselors.com. And get out there and celebrate the life you were meant to live, because with God's grace, there is so much more to life.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.